You're listening to a Rhino.com podcast. Yes, you are.
On today's Rhinocast, we will have an in-depth interview with Grammy-winning vocalist Natalie Cole. But first, let's hear from Bob Lefsetz as he discusses the music of singer-songwriter Loudon Wainwright III.
Town television shuts off at 2. What can a lonely rock and roller do? The bed's so big and the sheets are clean, and your girlfriend said you were 19, and the styrofoam ice bucket is full of ice. Come up to my motel room, treat me nice.
I can play you that whole song. That's what got me into Loudon Wainwright III. That's Motel Blues. Hey, you're listening to Bob Lefsetz on the Rhinocast. Used to be weekly, but now it comes down when you least expect it. You need that little hit of inspiration to get you through your life. We try to deliver that. Loudon Wainwright was one of those guys I ignored. Because you can only buy so many records. That's what the people don't understand. We used to say, maybe a few people were rich. The rest of us were saving our money. When the Beatles, $2.52, they used to buy an EJ Corvette. You know, when in the 70s, $3.49, $3.57. And you would go and you'd have like a hierarchy in your mind of what albums you were going to buy. Sometimes you'd have to wait months because there'd be a new release and you couldn't get to that album. So there were certain acts you essentially never heard. Because you could never afford them. It's not like today where you can even sample everything at iTunes and steal everything you want. Today, it's the opposite. We're overwhelmed with how much music we have. Or the average kid, you know, let's say the average kid, and I'm sure it's higher than this, has 1,000 songs in their iTunes library. That's 100 albums. When I went to college with probably 125 albums, I had the most albums of anybody in my whole college. So I was not that familiar with Loudon Wainwright III. I was familiar with the hype and that his father worked for Life magazine or something. You know, that's how they used to sell it. They used to try to get you hooked by the hype, then hear it on the radio. But I'm going to college in Vermont. We can't get any good FM radio there. As for the college station, forget it. So I wasn't familiar with him other than that novelty song, Dead Skunk. You know, Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road, which I heard one night in Sun Valley, the same day that somebody stole the gas cap from my brand new car. This was before they were all hidden behind doors. And I was in a bad mood, trying to pick up women getting rejected. It was just fucking terrible. But recently, you know, I'm addicted to satellite radio, and Mike Marone on The Loft played Motel Blues, and I loved it. It's about 2 years ago, but that's as far as I went. Recently, and I'm talking about very recently, like a couple of weeks ago, we're in the beginning of September of 2008, Loudon Wainwright released a new album called Recovery, where he re-records all of his early tracks. For me, this is just a bullshit move. You know, no one can sell a record anymore. What sells records? Basically television and top 40 radio. Top 40 radio is pop and urban. So if you get on the top 40 radio, you will sell some records, but you probably won't be able to tour. Rihanna, after she had Umbrella, she was playing at the House of Blues. That's a club. And then in terms of television, you can be on, you know, American Idol, but unless you win, and even if you do win, you might end up on Broadway. Nobody cares, okay? And then you have all these other acts. It's like, why do they make these records? Why do they put money in them? And it's like, you know, why do we need this Loudon Wainwright record? In my particular mind, we don't need it at all. But I want to hear the remake of Motel Blues, which is why I downloaded Recovery by Loudon Wainwright III. Just in case you tuned in, which never happens in a podcast. No one tunes in the middle of a podcast. So I'm playing Motel Blues, and you know how it is. You have it in your iTunes library, and it's kind of like listening to albums of yours. All of a sudden, you get distracted, and things start to slip, and all of a sudden, I discover this song.
Once was a man who just couldn't cry. He hadn't cried for years and for years. Napalmed babies are the movie love story. for instance, could not produce tears. As a child, he had cried as all children will. But at some point, his tear ducts ran dry. He grew to be a man. The feces hit the fan. Things got bad, but he couldn't cry.
This song goes on for 6 minutes, and it's the type of thing that hooks you in the background. It's just like Last Trip to Tulsa off the very first Neil Young album. You got to get the first Neil Young album. It's never hyped. But that's one with The Loner, Emperor of Wyoming. I've been waiting for you for such a long time. Oh, great record. And you're listening to this, and it's very, you know, sparse in terms of production. And the lyrics are obtuse, just like Last Trip to Tulsa. And the guy's a loser. You know, his novel was refused, his movie was panned, and his big Broadway show was a flop. It goes on and on how this guy can't cry, okay? They put him in jail. He's still, you know, whatever. But eventually, he passed away. I'm going to play you this part of the song.
On the 41st day, he passed away. Well, he went up to heaven, located his doll. Not only that, he rejoined his arm. Down below all the critics, they took it all back. Cancer robbed the whore of her charm. His ex-wife died of stretch marks. His ex-employer went broke. The theologians were finally found out. Oh, right down to the ground. The prison burned down, yeah. The earth suffered perpetual drought.
Now, I know you're saying, hey, I lost a little context there. But the bottom line, those end lyrics refer to all sorts of things earlier in the song. His dog was run over, his wife up and left him, and after that, he got sacked from his job, lost his arm in the war, was laughed at by a whore. Ah, but still not a sniffle or sob. It's revenge. You know, we're trying so hard to make it, and we get fucked over. And the guy gets revenge at the end of the song. I say, this is unbelievable. And I got to play it over and over again. And it's hypnotic. And I say, God, do I actually like Loudon Wainwright III? Just a side note, on one of those albums that Johnny Cash did with Rick Rubin, he covers the song. It's live from the Viper Room. You can track that down. So now, all of a sudden, I continue to play the album because really I'm busy on the computer. And the next song that gets to me is Be Careful, There's a Baby in the House.
Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby will not be fooled. It will think and do what it wants to until you get it schooled.
Out about the baby. It's a lot of poo-poo. It's just the way, you know, it's kind of like a blues number. I just hear it on my computer speakers. Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And it was like, normally that's supposed to be, yeah, my woman up and left me. But he's talking about a baby, and I wrote about this, and my best friend from college says, oh, we sang that all the time when our kid was born. And I'm getting into it. So all of a sudden, there's another song that I like. Now, one song that I won't play just because I can't, I could sit here for the whole album, you know, for an hour and we could talk about it. When you come here to Rhino and we do this as a live show, but Saw Your Name in the Paper, you know, that's after you break up and all of a sudden the other person becomes successful. But the next song, I'm doing my back exercises. Dedicated listeners know that I do my back exercises because I have a herniated disc, and it works pretty well so I can go skiing. And about the 15th time through, no, really about the fifth or sixth time through, I get hooked on this song, Muse Blues.
I went down to the library, you know. The big one, way downtown.
I got to stop right here. That's how I got hooked on the song, I Love the Library. It's kind of funny. We have an, you know, an alternative now, the internet. But if you lock me up in the library for the rest of my life, that, I'd be happy. Now, I don't want to be like that guy in the Twilight Zone, you know, who broke his glasses and then couldn't read. But, you know, the library across the, almost across the street from where I live. Oh, I love that. You know, I've been to libraries all over America. And the big library in Bridgeport, Connecticut is where we go when we have a heavy research project in high school. So I thought of that in this song.
I went down to the library, you know, the big one way downtown. I pull out my spiral notebook and my scripto pencil. These are the words I did put down. I'm a dead firecracker, I ain't got any fuse. I ain't got no inspiration since I lost my muse. I'm a table with two legs, I'm a spider with five. I'm going down slow, Muse, when will you arrive? Oh, Muse, where are you? Oh, Muse, where are you? You know I eat, drink, and I smoke stuff. I don't know what to do.
Now, normally, this is the kind of beat that I don't dig, but I'm lying on the floor. I'm cracking up. There's nothing worse than losing your muse. Sometimes I'm writing so much that my audience is freaked out enough already. Then other times I can't write a single thing. What can I do to inspire myself? Can I go out for a hike? Can I read the newspaper? He's talking about the Muse Blues, losing his muse. No one writes about this stuff. Everybody's, you know, as I say, my baby left me. I'm heartbroken. Or the hip-hop guys, you know, I kicked her to the curb. You know, I'm rolling in my car with the rims and we're all drinking 40s, having a good time. This guy's speaking about real life. And now I'm hooked. I'm playing the album on my iPod incessantly. And more, it's just like the albums of yore. More and more tracks are revealing themselves to me. The next one is Movies Are a Mother to Me.
The movies are a mother to me. There's nothing like a good movie to mother me back to sanity when I have gone insane. A rainy Tuesday or a Saturday night when I messes with me and then we start to fight. We both head for the flicks and things come out all right. We both enjoy that show.
You know, they say the second greatest period of movies after the 30s, most specifically 1939, was the 70s. It was a religion. You went to the movies, you learned about yourself. Forget these extravaganzas that came after the Spielberg and the Lucas epics. You'd go and you'd see life itself, and you could connect with the movies, even if you went alone. A rainy Tuesday, and it doesn't rain much in Southern California, but I grew up on the East Coast. You'd go to a movie, you would feel alive. Even the sound. You're listening to most people listen to these podcasts alone. So, you know, you're enveloped. You're dedicated. It's not like, you know, it's so funny because today's younger generation, as they say, it's all about being a member of the group. Whereas in the 60s and 70s, it was about being superior. I'm going to be the winner. I'm going to be the champion. I actually know kids who say, hey, I don't want to stand out. This has got that vibe. When you feel alone and you're not the member of group, not only does the sound fit the bill, the lyrics are there too. Who writes this Meshuggah music? You know, this guy never broke through. You know, there wasn't really radio for him. It didn't really work on MTV. And he should have given up and gotten a day job. ultimately he continued, and it took just this long for me to get into it. And now I feel like, you know, the 15-year-olds who get into Led Zeppelin. I go back, there's a whole cornucopia of Loudon Wainwright songs. I went to see him at the Largo. He whipped out a song called In C that has never been on any album, talking about family breakup, you know, in the same kind of wry, humorous way. And he ultimately has a line that says, well, you know, without all these, you know, problems, where would we have art? And that's where the truth is. As opposed to having all these songwriters concoct a number that works on the top 40. This is real stuff. You know, now I'm eager. The other funny thing is there's so much happening. Before I came here, I was eating some Mexican food, reading the LA Weekly. There's like 20 gigs a night. Maybe LA has finally become like New York. And irrelevant of your age, irrelevant of whether you have money you can get in, it's overwhelming. And we're looking to have sense. So I go to see Loudon Wainwright. He plays with Joe Henry and Van Dyke Parks, the legendary Van Dyke Parks, which is exactly what Loudon said. And the place is like one third full. People don't get the memo. And I want to give you the memo. It's kind of a funny thing because, you know, if you don't get it, I can't convince you. But I'm so glad this guy didn't give up and is continuing to make music. But I'm now going to play you my absolute favorite record. This is one of these things you hear a few times, and all of a sudden you get the lyrics, and it cracks you up. This is from Loudon Wainwright's new album, Recovery. All of these songs can be found in earlier iterations, usually solo on the guitar. And it's funny, if you knew the song in advance, like Motel Blues, I like the old version better. But if you hear the new ones better first, I like the new ones better. Here, Say That You Love Me. Love that droning groove.
You like me, that's not enough.
You know, at first you just think this is another 70s rock number, okay? Then you'll say, I have never heard a song about this experience. I can tell you so many times in my life where I've had a fixation on a woman, and I just said, maybe if I just told her that I was into her, she'd say, oh, I've been into you. I've never had the balls, okay? And what he's talking about is taking that risk and saying, say that you love me, and you hear like back. It makes you insane because we've all professed that we're into certain people. I mean, I don't understand these people say, oh, yeah, I go to a lunch date on Tuesday, a dinner date on Wednesday. I meet somebody at Starbucks on Thursday, playing the numbers. I don't know. It takes me a long time to get up my gumption to go on any date. I have to feel it. But this guy is, you know, saying, and he finally reveals himself and he doesn't get the response that he wants. And the song becomes more intense. Listen.
Say that you love me. I'm calling your bluff.
That's like hilarious. He gets to the point where, you know, first it's like connecting. Say that you love me because, you know, now he says, I said it to you. You got to say it back.
I don't want a new bow tie. I don't want a new dress.
I don't know if you hear that little guitar picking accent. There are little points like that throughout the remake album, Recovery, and they really get under your skin. You really dig them.
You admit it. It's time to confess. Say that you love me. Open your heart. Three simple words, at least it's a start. Say that you love me. love, and you can say it again. I got to be more than one of your friends.
The dreaded friend zone. We've seen this in movies, finally. We've seen it in TV shows, but never in a song. I'm in the friend zone. You know, that's what it's like when you're a guy. I'm sure it's the same when it's a woman, but I can only speak from the perspective of a guy. You know, you're talking to your buddies. You say, I found out I'm in the friend zone. It makes you crazy because you're not in the friend zone. You're in the romantic zone.
I must know you love me. There must be no doubt. Open your heart.
I used to like Loudon Wainwright III when I got hooked on Motel Blues. Now I love him. I don't know whether you love him also, but give him a good chance. You got to start here with the podcast. Start with the album Recovery. You may have a whole new discovery and be as enriched as I am. Till next time, it's Bob Lefsetz on the RhinoCast.
This Rhino podcast is brought to you by the following sandwiches: ham, chicken salad, and roast beef.
Natalie Cole has accomplished what any serious artist could possibly hope to in their career. From Grammys to a string of chart-topping hit songs, Natalie has forged a successful career as an R&B artist, and in an effort to keep alive the music and lyrics of singers she so admires like Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, and, of course, her own legendary father, Nat King Cole, she in 1991 recorded Unforgettable with Love. It featured her own arrangements of her father's greatest hits, something Natalie previously had been reluctant to do. Unforgettable with Love sold over 7 million copies and won Grammys for Album of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best Traditional Pop Vocal Performance. Recently, as she was preparing to release her new album, Natalie Cole, Still Unforgettable, we spoke with her about then and now.
When we did Unforgettable back in 1991, we didn't know then how it was going to fit into anything. It was a heartfelt, totally inspired project. We didn't really know if anyone was going to like it. We made it pretty much for the jazz enthusiasts of, you know, in the music business. We made it for the Nat King Cole fans. And there was no guarantee that it would be even accepted. The response, of course, was phenomenal. And so, here we are again doing something somewhat similar, but maybe a little broader. And it would be great to have that same kind of a response. There is something about this music. They are drawn to it. There's something about it that is compelling. And I hope the response is just as great, if not better.
91's Unforgettable with Love and your new album, Still Unforgettable, through advances in technology, basically allowed you to fulfill a lifelong dream of recording a duet with your dad. Talk to us about that.
Well, to sing with Dad is always, it's such a special, extraordinary moment. And when people ask me about doing duets, there's no finer duet to do than with my dad. All the other duets, I have to say, pale in comparison. As much as I enjoy working with fellow artists, there's something about singing with Dad that's always full of surprises. When we first did Unforgettable, that was an interesting moment because we didn't realize just how great his phrasing was. And then when we got to Walking My Baby Back Home, which is an up-tempo, his phrasing is still very, very cool and very slick and very purposeful, and there's just something about it. So it took a minute, but it's just really extraordinary. It's really fun.
Before we listen to it, let's talk about the new duet with your father.
Walking My Baby Back Home was a song that I think I've known this song ever since I was a little girl. And it always used to make me laugh. When we were in rehearsals, picking the songs for this record, there was a question in the back of everybody's mind, is Natalie going to do another duet with her father? And I really was very nervous about doing that and not making it a repeat of Unforgettable, which is one of the reasons why it even took so long to even do this kind of a record. And while we were there at rehearsals, it just basically came to me that might be a great song to do. So it just worked and everybody went, yes, that's what we needed. And so it's just a special little song, you know, and Dad actually made it very popular in the early 1950s.
Gee, it's great after being out late, walking my baby back home. Arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home.
We go along harmonizing a song, I'm reciting a poem. Owls go by and they give me the eye, walking my baby back home.
We stop for a while, he gives me a smile, I snuggle my head to his chest. We started to pet, and that's when I get my powder all over his vest.
After I kinda straighten my tie, she has to borrow my comb. One kiss, then we continue again, walking my baby back home.
We are talking with Natalie Cole about life, music, and, of course, her new album, Still Unforgettable. Natalie, you've once again made an effort with this album to resurrect some real classics, some great classics, like Come Rain or Come Shine.
Ooh, Come Rain or Come Shine, what a great song. I heard the Sammy Davis Jr. version of this and the Lena Horne version, and I knew both of these people when I was growing up. I went to see them many times in Las Vegas, and when I started putting stuff together, I thought of those people. And interestingly enough, Come Rain or Come Shine is arranged by Patrick Williams, who did a lot of arrangements for Frank Sinatra. And he said this was the first time that he'd ever done this song as an up-tempo. So that's nice to know.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you, come rain or come shine, high as a mountain and deep as a river, come rain or come shine. I guess when you met me, it was just one of those things, but don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm gonna be true. You're gonna love me like nobody's loved me, come rain or come shine. Happy together, unhappy together, now won't that be fine? Days may be cloudy or sunny, we're in or we're out of the money, but I'm with you always, I'm with you.
There's a great track on the album. I'd never heard it before. And I understand that Tony Bennett had a hand in your recording it.
Tony Bennett came up to me during Grammy Week in 2008. And I said, you know, Tony, I'm getting ready to do another Unforgettable record. And he goes, if you're doing another Unforgettable record, you got to do this song called Coffee Time. It is just so fabulous. It's so this, it's so that. And he kept saying Ella and Sarah, and I'm like, okay. So we tried to find it, couldn't find it anywhere. Turns out it was actually done by Carmen McRae. And Tony said, you're gonna thank me when you do this song, because this is a very, very cool song. And so we finally got it, and Danny Bennett, actually, Tony's son, found it for us. And we played it for our executive producer, Tina, because we were almost through with everything. And we played it for Tina, and she said, I love it, love it, love it. And so it got on the record. And it's such a cool feeling song. It's just, it's really, really fun.
All right, let's listen to it. From Natalie Cole, Still Unforgettable, this is Coffee Time.
Coffee time, my dreamy friend, it's coffee time. Let's listen to some jazz and rhyme and have a cup of coffee. Let me show a little coffee house I know, where all the new bohemians go to have a cup of coffee. Greeting time, the music box is beating time. It's good old-fashioned meeting time. So grab a chair and dig me there, 'cause that's just the place that I'm at. Coffee time, my dreamy friend, it's coffee time. Let's sing this silly little rhyme and have a cup of coffee.
Her new album, Natalie Cole, Still Unforgettable, is available everywhere starting September the 9th. And you can get more information on it if you log on to rhino.com. That's R-H-I-N-O.com. Natalie, you've recorded duets with so many different artists over the years. Peabo Bryson, Ray Parker Jr., to name just a couple. Of all the artists you could choose from anywhere in the world at any time, who would you like to sing with?
If I really thought of who I wanted to sing with, it would probably be someone like Ella or Sting. I mean, I'm kind of all over the place, you know. I have so many people that I admire in this business. I think of, I don't know, someone even like, well, actually, singing with Ray Charles was another great moment for me. It was really, really fun. Those kinds of people, they have a naturalness in the way that they approach their music. It's very easy and casual. And I remember after the first time I ever sang a duet, probably was with Frank Sinatra in 1977. And I was pregnant with my child, my son, and he was doing a special. And he told me then that whatever I had what it takes. And because this Frank was the kind of guy who did not like to sing over and over again. He did not like to rehearse. And so I was very nervous when I went to work with him. But we got through this take in like maybe two or three times. And he was like, yeah, kid, you got it. So I think I learned early on that, you know, just have fun with it.
I want to remind you that Natalie's new album, Natalie Cole, Still Unforgettable, is available everywhere starting September the 9th. Natalie, it has been a real pleasure. For more information, by the way, on the album, just log on to rhino.com, and that's spelled R-H-I-N-O.com. Okay, let's end the show, and I'd like you to talk about this track for just a minute. It is one of my favorites of all time. It is on the new CD. Here's That Rainy Day.
Well, Here's That Rainy Day is probably a song that so many people know. Kind of a sad, sentimental, looking back over one's life almost type of song. Again, great lyrics. Nan Schwartz is the lady that I worked with for the first time on this record, and I gotta tell you, she just killed me. Her arrangements are absolutely divine. And she gives this song such a visual that it really makes, it really pulls you in. And it's very dramatic, and I like that kind of stuff.
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams. Funny, but here's that rainy day. Here's that. day, they told me about, and I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where's that worn out wish that I threw aside after it brought my lover is he.
This show was produced by Ignition 36 Productions in association with The Score. Edited by Seth Blackburn. I'm Mark Wilson. Thanks for listening.
You've just listened to a Rhino.com podcast. Visit Rhino.com for music, movies, and all kinds of crazy shit.